our audio guy in here? Ready?
Yep. Go ahead.
At this time, I would like to introduce our first speaker, John B., from the Montgomery area. His topic is The Joy is in the Journey.
I'm an addict named John.
Hey, John.
I'm an addict named John.
Hey, John.
Boy, I'm going to give the Cliff Notes version of my story. It's this big. I went to a party in 1962, and I got home from the party in 1992. That's the condensed version. Now, a bunch of stuff, somebody got it over here. A bunch of stuff happened in between that. The party started off as a lot of fun. It was exciting. It was sexy. And it ended up in the opposite of that. It was depression, extreme low self-esteem, shutoffs. Gas, water, electricity, foreclosure, repossession, bankruptcy. That's the bigger part of my story. And at the end, I was totally clueless as to why this was happening to me. I thought it was because I was a bad person. So they say, after coming to NA, we found out that we were sick people. Well, yeah, I found that out. One day, my boss met me. I'll tell you how that process happened. My boss met me at the back door of the school, and I was coming in 15 minutes late because I couldn't stop doing what I was doing on my lunch break. And my students were out in the hallway waiting for me. He unlocked my door and escorted me to his office and said that if I didn't get help, I was going to lose my good government job. So I said, okay, you know, I'll give it a shot. In fact, I went to meetings after that, NA meetings, because they said I had to go to some meetings, and I said, "Well, I'm really too busy. You know, I got too much to do." So, well, can you go to two meetings a week? And I said, "Oh, okay, I'll try to work that in." And I had to had to get my sheet signed and all that. But as long as I had freedom, as long as I could walk out of the door, guess what? I was going to get high. That was it. I was in outpatient treatment for 9 months. I got high every day. I'd leave work, go get high. Go to a meeting, go get high. And then at the end of that 9 months, they told me, well, you know, you're going to lose your job. You're going to have to go in. So ended up going to a DC General Detox. Where they tried to stabilize me, you know. I was kind of crazy at that point. No. I was very crazy. I was insane. And I had a lot of ideas, you know, as to what I was going to do. In fact, at the end of the 10 days, we were sitting in a small group in the room, and they said, we've got a bed opening at the rehab right across the courtyard. Who wants to go? And my hand went up like that. And I said, what the? How'd I get up there? And they said, you're exactly the kind of person we are looking for. So, I mean, I had my bags packed and I was ready to go home. So I'd been there, you know, 10 days. And said, well, the problem is that the bed doesn't open till Sunday. This was Friday. So I got an idea, right? You know, my idea was that I was going to go home, but this time I was going to actually pay some bills, right? Because, I mean, I was like in a lot of debt. I hadn't paid my mortgage in 9 months. I was about to get foreclosed on. So I said, well, this time I'm actually going to pay some bills, but I'm going to save $50. That was my idea. That was my good idea. So I said, okay, I'm ready to go. My bags are packed. I'm ready to go see y'all. And they said, no. You have to stay here until the bed opens on Sunday. So they didn't let me, you know, act out on my idea. So I ended up going across the courtyard to Carrick Hall. I ended there with 12 days clean because I wasn't allowed to act on my good ideas. Right, so in there, I found out that I was an addict. I really did. I found out that I was not this bad, horrible person. And I just had a disease. Okay, but just saying that is not enough. The disease that I had is trying to kill me. I mean, right now, it's trying to kill me. Right at this minute. With 21 years clean. It's trying to kill me. Right at this second. So I got to keep that up front. But, you know, a couple of things happened in that rehab that kind of got me going. One was that we had a nice dining hall. They had really good food in that rehab, right? And they had these giant picture windows, 1, 2, 3, if you can imagine, okay? And you look out of the picture windows, it's and over here was D.C. jail. Out of the picture window, right? The one in the middle was the graveyard. And next door was the STD clinic. And I was in the rehab. So what is that? Jails, institutions, and death. Oh, my. I had a spiritual awakening. That's what they were talking about. That was pretty cool, you know? So they said, if you want to, you know, recover from this disease, there's some things you really need to do. Find a higher power. Find a power that's bigger than your addiction. They told me to, when I leave, to go to meetings every day. Okay. They said get a sponsor and start working the steps. 12-step program, might as well work the steps. Okay, so they also gave me this blank sheet of paper that said write down 5 things that you want to happen in your future, 5 goals that you have. And one of them I wrote was a master's degree. Now, I have to put that in context, okay? My addiction really got kicked off when I was in college. It started when I was in high school, but it really kicked off. I took that first hit in college, and then it like progressed and progressed and progressed. And yeah, I don't know how I graduated. I remember taking exams, tripping, and stuff like that. Yeah, that's not a good thing. And then right when I left with a biology degree, then I decided I was going to be a rock star. Okay, rock star, right. I left off the graduation stage, went right on to the bandstand, and a few years later I said, well, I'm going to go back and get a master's degree. So I enrolled, and in 2.5 years, I got another bachelor's degree. Because I was so high, I didn't notice the difference, right? I got 2 bachelor's degrees. That was very, very strange. But anyway, so I'm sitting in the rehab with two bachelor's degrees, and that was one of my goals, which I actually did achieve a master's degree in recovery. Another one of my goals, this was even wilder than that one. I wanted to be a scuba diver. Okay, now, let me back up. I was scared of water. I was afraid of water. When I was 11, that's about when I took that first hit, 1962. And I was taking the Red Cross swimming test. And I got across the pool, and they said, well, turn around and come back. I said, come, turn around? Y'all ain't teach us how to turn around. And I got back a little bit, and I panicked. I ended up on the bottom of the pool. And I looked up, and I saw my life flash in front of me. I almost drowned. They pulled me out of the pool with a pole. And I was afraid of water my whole life after that. So I'm sitting in the rehab. That's a goal. I want to be a scuba diver, but I'm afraid of water. It's also strange that at my house at the time, which had yellow tape wrapped around it, by order of the sheriff of Montgomery County, do not remove anything from these premises. Okay, had yellow. I had a swimming pool in my backyard. Okay, possessions, material possessions. That didn't mean anything if you can't take advantage of them, right? So, one of my goals, at 50 years old, I learned how to swim. Now, the only reason I learned how to swim because I wanted to scuba dive. Now, let me back up. Why couldn't I swim? Why was I afraid of water? Because I did not trust my higher power, exactly. Somebody got it. There is a force in our bodies, which is called a buoyant force, and it's because of the air that's in our lungs, right? If I just relax, that force will hold me up and I'll float. I had to let go in order for that to happen. Isn't that cool? That's the third step. I had to turn my will and my life over to the care of my higher power. When I did that, I could float all day long. And I learned how to swim. And now I'm a professional scuba diver. And as a result of that, I get to travel. You know, especially in the Caribbean and Hawaii and places like that, you know, just things I dreamt about my whole life have come true as a result of working the steps of this program, not using one day at a time. There's something I want to read real quick out of It Works, Why. We see that regardless of the presence or absence of material success in our lives, we can be content. We can be happy and fulfilled with or without money, with or without a partner, with or without the approval of others. We've begun to see that God's will for us is the ability to live with dignity, to love ourselves and others, to laugh, and to find great joy and beauty in our surroundings. Our most heartfelt longings and dreams for our lives are coming true. These priceless gifts are no longer beyond our reach. They are, in fact, the very essence of God's will for us. Ooh. I'll give you the page. It Works How and Why, page 112. That is what has happened to me in my life. I've got to travel that way. I've got to travel with Narcotics Anonymous. Going to world conventions, I met people from all over the world. In Philly, I met a guy from Russia. I mean, it's unbelievable. In Narcotics Anonymous, staying clean one day at a time because of this program. I got a chance to travel out of the country to another country, to Europe, to a convention? Awesome. I mean, things I dreamt about doing, and I couldn't get out of my basement. Okay? The windows were shut, the doors were all double locked, the blinds were pulled down, the shades were, I mean, my world was that small. And now the whole world is open to me. And it's because of Narcotics Anonymous. I want to thank you guys for letting me share.